Today on Real Radio.
Bible student, chapter 9 of the book of Revelation has more symbols than any other chapter of the entire Bible. Chapter 9. Whenever you read the word as or like in chapter 9, it means that it is not what it is saying. It is symbolizing, trying to explain something worse than what is being depicted. They're worse than locusts. They're worse than scorpions. These demons are.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. There are some topics that are often avoided because they're not positive, not politically correct, or because they might offend or turn people off. But the topic of hell is just as unavoidable as all else in the Judeo-Christian world and life view. And because our teacher has committed to leading us through Scripture verse by verse, we will once again be learning about the realities revealed in chapter 9 and verses 1 through 12. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs with more in this study called When Hell Meets Earth.
Jesus said concerning demons, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through waterless places seeking rest, and they find none. That when that happens, they say, I will return to my house. Notice what they call the human body. I'm going to go back to my house from which I came. This is Jesus speaking. And when he comes back, he finds it emptied. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't move in when the demons moved out. The person didn't get saved. There's a vacancy. There's vacant written on them. No God in their life. No Holy Spirit. When he comes back, he finds them empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other demons more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell within the man, and the last state of that human being is worse than the first. Isn't that awesome? Petrifying? But yet Jesus says it's a reality. Demonic activity. Number 3, verses 5 and 6. Our third point is this. When hell meets earth, mankind will receive a token of eternity. Jot it down. Mankind will receive a token of what eternity is all about. What do I mean by that? Church, understand this. The book of Daniel chapter 12 and John's Gospel chapter 5 verses 28 and 29 says that in the end, there will be a judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous. Did you know that? Those of us who are Christians, we will be judged by Jesus Christ for the opportunities that were given to us, the open doors that were allowed to us to serve him or bring glory to his name. We will not be judged regarding any of our sins or regarding heaven or hell. Are you with me? Everybody understand that? It's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians. It is a good thing. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says we will receive the rewards of what we've done in our body while we were here on earth. Did we live for God and did we give our attention to God and to expand his kingdom? Did we give our money to the advancement of the Lord? Did we give our energies? Whatever it is. Did we invest in God's kingdom? He's going to ask us this question. What did you do for my son? Jesus might say to us, what did you do for me? Let's take a look and see. Little camera's going. We got popcorn. No, I'm kidding. But the camera's going. And we will know of opportunities. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we will suffer loss or we'll be blessed based upon did we respond in faith to those opportunities. Your job, as it is for me, is to find out what my opportunities are given to me by God, and you have to find out what your opportunities given to you by God are. I can't do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. We'll all stand before the Lord. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Okay? We're safe. We're going to heaven. But to those who are not Christ, they do not appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not at all. Do you know where they appear? The Bible says that they appear before God the Father. Without Christ, without Jesus' intervention. They stand before God, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and the books are opened and they are judged out of the books and the things written therein. And it says, all those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, who are judged, are cast into hell. What a horrific thing. You say, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there either. Now look, let me insert this. I don't want to accept Jesus because I don't agree with your message. I don't like it. Because there's no way that I'm going to bow my knee to a God who just throws people in hell. Like capriciously. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know, burn and you don't. And he doesn't do that. The Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. I want to underline this. Are you coming to eternal life? Do you want to come? Do you want to come? So, well, if he's inviting me, how do I know? Come. Well, what if I don't want to come? Then he's not inviting you. Well, wait a minute. I want to be invited. Then come. Yeah, but wait a minute. If man determines his rejection of God, and because of that, there's a default built into the system where we're all sinners, and if I don't accept Christ, if I don't get covered by him and his righteousness, then I just keep going the way that I'm going, and I wind up waking up in hell? That's right. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. For there is no other way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You say, I don't like that. I don't know what to tell you. That's the rules. You ever play Monopoly? Come on, have you ever played Monopoly? I can't stand people who play Monopoly and they're making up the rules. Then you got to stop the game. Stop the game. Get the lid and read the instructions. You can't do that. Well, I've always done it before. Have you ever played Monopoly with people like that? I've always done it before. Look, we're playing by the rules. Milton Bradley built this game. It's the way that it is. Thus saith Milton Bradley. You cannot build this until you have put houses on there. Then you go to a hotel. Well, I want $200. You've got to go past go. You can't make the rules up. I don't like that part. Pastor, can't you move on to a warm and fuzzy message? I'm moving. I'm going. I want to get there too. But the truth of the matter is, God says, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll set you free. Come to me. Jesus says, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to me. Look at me. He cries out, look at me. By the way, millions of people are coming to faith around the world through the Passion of the Christ, the movie. Isn't that great news? Another way, God is using the media to point to his son, where in that movie, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, no man comes to the Father but through me. I got an email from a friend I told you before last week from Amman, Jordan. And he said, he's a Christian doing undercover missionary work in Amman, Jordan. And he said, listen, the theater, and every time he's gone to see it, he said, the theater, all these Muslims are weeping out loud as they watch Jesus in his suffering. Jesus is eternal life. If you reject that message where he says, come and bring me all of your sin, bring me all of your shame and all of your pain and all of your hurt, you give it to me, I'll forgive you, I'll give you freedom from those who have sinned against you, I'll put you on a new path of life, and you'll have eternal life forever, and you'll have a purpose and a meaning for life, and you can go forth in bold victory and joy and peace. You know, I don't want that. He's not going to grab you by the head and get you in a headlock and say, come on, say it, call me Lord. He won't force you. That's called rape, by the way. He won't do that. He won't tackle you and make you say uncle or make you say Jesus. No. You have to respond to him. But look at what happens to those who refuse. Verses 5 and 6, we learn that to truly suffer is to suffer without God's grace. To truly suffer is to suffer without God's grace. Verses 5 and 6, and they were not given authority to kill them. These demons didn't kill the people. It was worse. They tormented them, the earth dwellers, for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Can you imagine getting stung for 5 months repeatedly? Have you ever been stung by a bee? Anybody? Raise your hand. Been stung by a bee? Have you ever been stung by a scorpion? Anybody? Yeah? Wow. Can you imagine getting stung for 5 months? How about going to the doctor? That freaks me out. He's going to give you a shot. Can you imagine getting a shot for 5 months around the clock? Ning, 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 ning. Torment. One of the things about suffering is the hope that, you know what, in the morning I might feel better. Have you ever got through suffering? The morning, you long for the morning. You know what I'm saying? When you've suffered all night long, you long for the morning. Oh, Lord, bring mercy in the morning. Lord, bring mercy. Lord, bring the morning. There's hope in the morning. 5 months, these people are tormented by this demonic manifestation of things that operate in a swarm like locusts, but they sting like scorpions. By the way, Bible student, chapter 9 of the book of Revelation has more symbols than any other chapter of the entire Bible, chapter 9. Whenever you read the word as or like in chapter 9, it means that it is not what it is saying. It is symbolizing, trying to explain something worse than what is being depicted. They're worse than locusts. They're worse than scorpions. These demons are. This is a true story. I read this years ago, and I've shared it with you in the past. There was a man in Florida, true story. I have it in my file. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. A man. He bought a snake when it was just a little worm. I mean, it was just a little thing. And he raised it. Now, if you have a snake in your house, I know some of you have snakes in your houses. You're weird. What is wrong with you? Oh, Pastor, come on over. You know, I want to have you over for dinner, but you need to know we have a snake in the house. I am not coming. It's harmless. I don't care. Freaks me out. Look what happened the last time somebody talked to a snake anyway. Not good. This guy in Fort Lauderdale had a snake from the size of a worm. You know what? It grew up. Guess what it was? It was a cobra. And he had it for a pet for years. It was huge. The guy came home like he always does. Came home, opened the door, walks in the house, and wham! It got him. He made his way to the phone, dialed 911. By that time, within seconds, the guy's laying flat on the floor, completely paralyzed. When the fire department came, they didn't know what the phone call. You know, when you dial 911 and hang up or you lay there, they're coming. So they come. Can you imagine those poor firemen? They come walking in there. There's a cobra in the house. They wound up killing the cobra. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Snakes are wrong. And that man's life was spared. And you know what he said when he recovered? He said that when he got struck by that cobra, he went into a convulsion. He laid there and he said his mind felt like his brain felt like it was burning. He was completely immobilized. He could hear and see everything, but he couldn't do anything about it. And the paramedics came and they're talking and they're trying to figure out what's wrong. And he couldn't say or do anything. He was locked in his body. And I thought about that. That's just like sin. You have a little sin in your house. Hey, we just come on over. We got a little sin in the house. It's okay. That thing can bite you, man. You come home. It's been in our house for years. It's a little sin. Hey, that little sin grows up into a great python type thing, you know, with fangs on it. You walk into the house, normal day, whatever, blam. And that little sin grew up to be a big deal and is seeking to kill you. And how interesting it was, the guy said, I couldn't respond. I was captive in my own body. Hey, those of you who don't know Christ and you're bound in your sins, that's exactly how you are. You are bound in your own body. You're stuck. And Jesus reaches out of heaven now down to your life and says, I can free you from that thing that plagues you. He can set you free. It's a horrible thing to suffer without God's grace. I see these people on the Fear Factor. What a lunatic program that is. I don't like snakes. I hate them. I don't like spiders. I don't like lizards. I don't like creepy things. And you say, well, you're just afraid. I am afraid, and apparently fear is a factor in my life. And for that reason, I am not going to hell. I'm afraid of hell. I don't want to go there. The Bible talks about it. Want nothing to do with it. Don't want anything to do with hell. He goes on to tell us here. It says in verse 7, the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. It wasn't gold. It was something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. They weren't men's faces. They were like men's faces. Ooh. And they had hair like the hair of women. And their teeth were like that of a lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like chariots and horses running to battle. Verse 10, their tails were like scorpions. And they had stingers, or they were able to sting. And they had power to do this for 5 months. Verses 11 to 12 is that there's hope for the end, my friend. Right now for you today, listen, there's hope in this. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek is the name Apollyon, the destroyer. The word is destroyer and one who destroys. It's a reference to Satan himself. One woe has passed, and behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Here's the hope. Satan is a defeated foe. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't sound like it. But my friend, he's defeated. And I want to just talk to you for a moment about the nature of hell and to talk about to all of us who are Christians what we're going to be escaping. And I hope in the hearing of this that no one experiences. But if you die rejecting Christ, this is what awaits you. If you assemble, if you compile what the scriptures say about hell, it goes by the word Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, the Abuso, Tartarus, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, the place of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word weeping is profuse. Weeping that chokes you. Listen, if this makes you uncomfortable, it's with a purpose. The gnashing of teeth, the word in Greek means to gnaw your teeth, to grind your teeth to the point of breaking them off because of pain. The bottomless pit. For that sense of forever falling. Outer darkness. The word is absolute loneliness. Aloneness. I had somebody tell me on Newport Beach Pier, I'm going to be in hell with the rest of my friends. I told him, no, you won't. He said, I like to surf and water ski. I'm going to surf. Because I told him about the lake of fire. He says, well, I'm just going to water ski on it. Now, I was talking to a surfer. What do you expect him to say? I'll either surf it or water ski on it. I said, no, you won't. You'll be absolutely alone. No one will hear your cry. You'll see no one from life. You'll experience, Jesus said, a worm upon your body that constantly eats your flesh, and it never is full, and your flesh is never fully consumed. The Bible says you are forever alive, living out a death. Go figure that one out. You are alive forever while dying. You will suffer what Jesus said, what the scriptures say, is a second death. A spiritual dying and a physical decay. It will be a place where the Bible says there's the lake of fire. Whereas Dr. Booth, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, God gave him a vision. And he said in that horrific vision that he saw an ocean aflame. And there were men and women doing their best to tread water in an ocean aflame. And their mouths were just above the water as they were trying to breathe, constantly trying to tread water. And neither one of them were trying to rescue the other nor hurt the other, for they were not aware of the presence of the other. And William Booth said it changed his life forever. A fire, a lake ablaze that puts out no light, a place that is unbelievably horrific that the Bible says it was created for Satan and his punishment, not for you. You say, well, then I don't have to go, do I? It was created to punish Satan. But all those who don't accept Jesus will wind up there, says the Bible. And you might say, I don't want that. I don't agree with that. That's coercion. It's not coercion, my friend, if you understand this. Are you getting younger or older? You're older today than you were yesterday. You're getting older. That's a law. It's a physical law, isn't it? Can't change it. Doctors are working on it. Good luck. You will still die. You might die good looking, but you're going to die. Look, no wrinkles. That's the best looking dead lady I've ever seen in my life. You're still going to die. It's a law. You can't change it. Jesus says, listen, you have the opportunity to pass from judgment to eternal life by putting your faith in me. Put your faith in him. Trust him. The one who loves you pleads with you now to receive him. If you have not yet done that today, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, said the Apostle Paul. Receive the Messiah today. That's the plea of pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study series called When Hell Meets Earth. We're still not finished with this sub-series, which means that there's plenty more to come on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're really benefiting from what you hear here on Real Radio, let Pastor Jack know. It's really quite easy to do so. Here's an example of what one listener wrote in recently. Dear Real Radio, just wanted to say thanks to a man of God. I'm a U.S. Marine and started walking with Christ a few years ago. God took me halfway around the world twice to show me his glory and his mercy. I now have a Christian wife and a newborn son. I listen to your radio ministry whenever I can, and it's nice to hear people contending for the faith. Thanks again, and keep letting the Lord lead you, sir. Sincerely, Mike. Well, that's written like a true soldier. Just visit realradioactive.org and click where it says Send Us a Message, and it's all very self-explanatory from there. www.realradioactive.org. For the mere cost of a stamp, you can send us a letter, long or short, to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Remember, all of this information can be found at www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. So prayerfully consider what you can do financially to team up with Real Radio. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.